We will turn, please, in the scriptures again, please, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and the verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. In verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. I preached on this a couple of years ago, but I want to come back to it as we come to it in this series and look at it in a slightly different light, showing the great sufficiency in the ministry of Christ to us, that we will bring forth fruit. We'll seek the Lord's face together, please, in prayer. Let us each pray tonight that the Lord will take his word and write it upon our hearts. Our gracious Father, we recognize that we stand in need of the help of the Spirit of God. And yes, we are so familiar with this image of Christ as the vine, and yet we need the great truths of this passage to be written upon our hearts afresh. And we pray that we will then know the Lord ministering to our hearts, and that the Spirit might even take these words and bring them with freshness to us, that words that are so familiar to us, that they will come with that freshness, and that our hearts will be blessed and strengthened through the word. Give that needed help of the Spirit, we pray in Christ's great name. Amen. Amen. The image of the vine was one that was very familiar to the Eastern reader, certainly very familiar to people in the land of Israel. The image of the vine was one that actually came to be regarded as one of the national symbols of Israel. They were, the vineyards, that is, were in great abundance through Israel. As I mentioned last week, some commentators believe that at the end of chapter 14, the Lord and the disciples actually left the upper room, and they began to make their way towards the Kidron River. And some suggest that as they had passed some vines, vineyards, that the Lord then pointed to the vineyard, speaking to his disciples, saying, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman, or the vine tender, the vine dresser, the gardener. In verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Now, the purpose of the vine is to grow grapes. The purpose of the vine is to bring forth fruit. The vine really has no other purpose. So no one grows a vine, that is a grapevine, or any other vine for that matter, in order to have firewood. It's really not of any use in that. Nor would anyone grow a vine in order to have wood for furniture. The wood of the vine is useless in that setting. So the only useful purpose really of the vine is for fruit bearing. And the Lord then is saying to his disciples, and thereby to us, that we are the branches. Our purpose on earth is that we might bring forth fruit. Our real purpose in being left here on the earth is that we might bring forth fruit. And so as the Lord was going away and leaving his disciples, the Lord was saying, I have something for you to do. You're to be like those branches of the vine, bringing forth fruit. And so the whole focus of this particular section of John 15 is on fruit bearing, fruitfulness. In verse 16, the Lord is referring to the great doctrine of election. ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Why are we the Lord's elect? I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, or your fruit should abide. And so this is the reason for our salvation. The Lord has chosen us. The Lord has saved us in order that we would have fruit. Remember, the book of Ephesians brings out that great doctrine of election in chapter 1. And then in chapter 2, Paul speaks of how we're not saved by our works, we're saved by grace. But then in Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so Paul is really taking the great doctrine of election there, and he says that you have been chosen, but you're chosen that you might show forth these great works, or as we have it here in John 15, that you might show forth fruit. And as I've said, this is then the great emphasis of the chapter. At the end of verse 2, it speaks there of how there is this purging, or there is pruning, in order that there would be more fruit. More fruit. In verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. More fruit, much fruit. And again then in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. And so the Lord isn't just looking for a little fruit, but the Lord is looking that we would be that vine with an abundance of grapes, as it were, that we would be bringing forth much and more fruit. Now, what is the fruit that is in view? Primarily, it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we have that fruit described in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so on. And we have the first aspects of the fruit mentioned in this particular passage. Verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And so there's this fruitfulness. It's love. Love to God, and then love to our fellow man. There's also the fruit of joy. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And so there is to be this fruit of the Spirit in us. In verse 19, it speaks there of fruit of separation from the world. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And part of the fruitfulness of the Christian then is that we stand forth as distinct. Though it's not in the immediate context, the issue of soul winning is also fruitfulness. If you look with me at verse 27, ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. And there is to be this fruitfulness in soul winning. God's people are to be bringing forth much fruit. Now, through the passage, I trust you noticed that as we read through it, the Lord is saying to his disciples, you must abide. Verse 4, abide in me. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And you have the word abide in the verses that follow. And so the Lord is saying to his disciples, you must abide. And so in some circles, if they were to take this passage, they would really labor forth this point. You must be abiding in the vine. And you must be abiding in the vine that you bring forth the fruit. And it's right that we have that emphasis. But sometimes In that emphasis, they really miss the greater point that the Lord is making. So we are to abide. We are to bring forth fruit. But the Lord is saying something greater than that. The Lord is saying, I am the vine. As you abide in me, you're able to bring forth the fruit. And so the passage is not so much saying to us that you have to be looking inward all the time. Am I abiding enough? But rather what the passage is teaching is we have to get our eyes upon Christ and really take hold of him. And as we take hold of him, that is the abiding. And so what Christ is really showing us in this passage is this, that he is the vine that enables the fruitfulness. And so what I want you to see then is that this passage is not one of mere duty, but it's a chapter of delight. You see, sometimes when Christians are full of duty, they then are full of despair because they have not done their duty. But we're to see here the delight in Christ. And yes, we fail in our duty, and there's no excusing of that. But as we have our delight in Christ, we are enabled even more and more to bring forth the fruit. And so Christ is saying, I am the vine. I came in my incarnation that you would be fruitful. I came in my earthly ministry that you might be fruitful. I am going to the cross that you might be fruitful. I will rise again that you might be fruitful. I will ascend and intercede that you might be fruitful. The whole purpose in Christ's ministry is directed at this, that we would be fruitful. And going back then to my opening comment, the only real purpose of the branches is to bring forth fruit. And Christ is saying, I've done all of this and I will do all of this, that you might then be fruitful. And I want us then this evening, rather than focusing on our ability to abide, our ability to cleave, I want us to focus on the one that we cleave to. That delivers us from bondage. It brings us into great liberty. And so I've entitled the message, The Vitality of the True Vine. I want to see, first of all, Christ's sufficiency for fruit-bearing branches. Christ's sufficiency for fruit-bearing branches. This great statement, I am the vine, like all of the I am statements in the Gospel of John, is a great affirmation of Christ's deity. And so as Christ says, I am the good shepherd, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I am the living bread, and all of those statements, Christ is referring back to those words way back in Exodus 3, where God revealed himself as the I am. So Moses was saying, when the people asked me who spoke to me, the Lord said, tell them, I am that I am, spoke with you. And so this is the great covenant-keeping name of God. God is Jehovah. And Christ then says in the Gospel of John, before Abraham was, I am. And he defies all laws of grammar there to emphasize this great truth that before Abraham was, he is the eternal Son of God. And so Christ says here to his disciples, I am the true vine. I am truly God. We're reminded of those great words in Colossians 2 verse 9. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so as Christ takes this great title, I am the vine, we are reminded that all of the fullness of the Godhead is in Christ. But then he says, ye are the branches. And in that text in Colossians, Paul said, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. Ye are complete in him. Or you are full in him. As there's that fullness in Christ, there's a fullness for the people of God. And so Christ is saying, I have this fullness as the vine. All that the branches need is in me on account of my deity. And thereby, as you hold on, all that you need for fruitfulness is supplied. All that we need legally before Almighty God is in Christ, and all that we need for our daily walk, for our daily fruitfulness, is in Christ. Now, thinking of this, that Christ is the great I Am, that title really refers to Christ's, or to God's, self-sufficiency. So as the Lord said to Moses, I am that I am, it was really explaining that God had not come of anything. God is self-sufficient. He is eternal. And so Christ then is saying to his disciples, I am self-sufficient. I am independent. But you are not like that. And so in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, or severed from me, ye can do nothing. So you are dependent. You have no ability to bring forth fruit of yourself. But Christ is saying, I have all by right. So here's a statement of deity. But there's also a statement of Christ's humanity. A statement of his humiliation. The Lord says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And if you have a grapevine, you'll know that in the time of fruit, as you look at the vine, the beautiful part is really suspended on the branches. There's no real attractiveness in the vine, where it's referring here to the base part of the plant. And surely the Lord was showing his disciples his great humiliation, his condescension. Isaiah 53 verse 2, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And here these great two great truths are set forth. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is truly man. And thereby there is this supply. And there is supply because we are united into him. And so just as in Christ's person there was this union, Christ is God and man, so then we have been brought into union with Christ. And that is the great emphasis of the chapter, one of the emphases of the chapter. Verse 2, every branch in me. Verse 4, abide in me. Verse 5, in the middle of the verse, he that abideth in me and I in him. And you'll know that in the epistles, Paul uses this phrase, in Christ, in Christ. This is the position of the Christian. We were out of Christ, but we have been taken and grafted into him. And as these branches grafted into Christ, we draw. And so here is the application. See the greatness of the vine. Abide in this great supply. Draw from it that you might be fruitful. How is it that the vine supplies the branches? It is chiefly in the sap. So the vine is supplying the sap for the branches. That sap is mainly water. So Christ is the great water of life to us. He's what we need for our fruitfulness. But it's not enough just for the branches to have water. They need the nutrients in order to bring forth the fruit. And so all that is needed for our spiritual good It is supplied in Christ. When I preached this a couple of years ago, I mentioned how that for the body, the blood is absolutely vital. The life of the flesh is in the blood. What the blood is to the human body is what the sap is to the plant. And we must then lay hold upon Christ, but here is this great truth set forth. All that we need is supplied in Him. He is a good vine, the sufficiency for fruit bearing. I want to see then, secondly, Christ's desire for fruit bearing branches. As the Lord desires fruit, He desires it for a very special reason. If you look with me at verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." And Christ then, the Son, has this desire. And His desire is that His people would have fruit, that the Father would be glorified. And remember, this is the great purpose in our election. Romans 8 verse 29, "Whom He did foreknow, He did also be predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son." And so we have been chosen to be conformed to the image of Christ, that God might be glorified in that. Ephesians 1 verse 5, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace." Why are we chosen? To the glory of the Father. And so as we think of those that are not regenerate as yet, they do not bring forth fruit. They are in rebellion against a holy God. But when the Lord comes and works upon the heart of a sinner, as they are regenerated, what a wonderful thing takes place, that by grace they are enabled to bring forth fruit unto the glory of God. Any fruit that we bear is not for our glory, but is all to be directed to the glory of His grace. This passage is really making it clear that the Trinity unite in their purpose of making us fruitful, that the Godhead might be honored. You look at verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." And so Christ here is the Son. He says, "I am the vine. The Father is the husbandman. And I have been showing you that the fruit includes the fruit of the Spirit, which can only come about through the operation of the Spirit." And so we have here Father, Son, and Spirit, and they're all uniting in the life of the Christian here. The Father is the husbandman. He is examining the branches. He prunes the branches. So He will at times bring us through times of difficulty and affliction. The Son, He supplies. And the Spirit is ministering Christ to us. And so here the three persons are united to bring honor to the Godhead. And tonight, as we desire then, and surely we ought to desire, to abide in the vine, it is ultimately that the Lord will be glorified. I want to see then, thirdly, Christ's faithfulness to fruit-bearing branches. Look at verse 1 again with me, please. The Lord says here to His disciples, "I am the true vine." Isn't it interesting that He didn't say to them, "I have been to you the true vine"? Nor does He say, "I will be to you the true vine." "I am the true vine. I have been, I am now, and I always will be." He is speaking here of His great immutability, His unchangeableness. We could say then, as the Lord says, I am the true vine. He is the one that abides faithful. The branches are not always faithful. The branches need purging. There are parts of our lives that are a hindrance. And the Lord in His providence, He must come and He must cut away those parts of our lives that are a hindrance, that the sap, as it were, might be directed to bring forth abundance. So there are things in our lives that are a hindrance to us. We don't know it often. And the Lord comes and the Lord prunes, that there might be the fruitfulness, but in it He is faithful. I wonder if you ever thought about why the Lord said here, I am the true vine. So much of what I've said already, it would be true if the Lord had said, I am the vine. But He says, I am the true vine. Philpott, an old London preacher, as he preached in this particular portion, he spoke of vines in the Old Testament that were false vines. That is, they were false in the sense that they were poisonous and harmful. Remember how during famine in 2 Kings 4, there was a vine and gourds were harvested from that vine and they were put into the pot, but there was death in the pot. It was not a true vine. It was a false vine. It was a poisonous vine. In Deuteronomy, we read of the heathen putting their confidence in something that's false. Deuteronomy 32:31, their rock is not as our rock. And then verse 32, their vine is as the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall, and their clusters are bitter. And Christ is saying, I'm not like that. There's nothing bad about me as the vine. And so He says, I am the true vine. The Lord is also the true vine in the sense that He is the reality, the fulfillment. And so this word true in verse 1, I am the true vine. That same word true is used in the book of Hebrews to describe Christ as the great reality, the fulfillment of Old Testament type. So Hebrews 8 verse 2, we read there of how Christ is a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle. And so what the writer there is saying is that in the Old Testament, there was a tabernacle. It wasn't false, but it was not the reality. It was pointing forward to something greater. It was just a picture of something that was to come. And so Christ says, I am the reality. In the Old Testament, there were the pictures. But the types and figures are now fulfilled. Christ says, I am the vine. And it's interesting, in the Old Testament, Israel, the nation of Israel, is likened to a vine. Hosea 10 verse 1, Israel is an empty vine. Psalm 80 verse 8, thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. And as you trace those various passages where Israel is called a vine, you'll see that the writers show that Israel failed as the vine. Israel failed as the vine. They were unfaithful. And so Christ comes and He says, I am the true vine. What Israel failed to do, there is no failure in I. Christ is saying, I am the fulfillment of all that was being spoken of in the Old Testament. I am the reality, and thereby I am the one that will enable you to bring forth fruit. And what a privilege we have today that we're not living in the times of altars and feasts and sacrifices. We have the true vine. The reality has come, and thereby we are enabled to bring forth fruit. If you look with me at verse 9, and here we have this idea of faithfulness. As the Father hath loved me. Was there any problem with the love of the Father for the Son? Definitely not. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Is there any problem with the love of the Son for us? Definitely not. The Father and Son have been faithful. Christ then says to his disciples, and thereby to you and me, continue ye in my love. Be faithful. Be faithful. And so Christ is saying, I have been to you an example of faithfulness. If you want to be faithful, keep your eyes upon me. Keep laying hold upon me. And thereby you will be enabled to be faithful. You see, the branches of the vine face external pressure. The branches will face the extremities of the weather, the harsh wind, the driving rain, the excessive heat, the attack of disease. But the vine can still be fruitful because it is drawing all the time. The branches can be fruitful because they are drawing all the time from the vine. And so while there may be failure in the branches, the vine abides faithful. And you and I tonight, we are full of unfaithfulness. But in the time of adversity, we have this secret. We draw forth from the vine. Now, there is a warning in this chapter for those that have some profession of Christianity without reality. If you look with me at verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. It speaks later in verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. I believe what's in view there is the false professor. It would appear that he's in Christ. And there's this problem, there's no fruit. Why is there no fruit? Because he's never actually been truly connected to the vine. And so that branch is removed. Is burnt. And so then in verse 3 it says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And if you remember way back in chapter 13, the Lord there used that word clean, and he was speaking in the context of how Judas was the false professor. He had to be removed. That which was not a true branch, it had to be taken away. It was cast into the fire. It was burnt. And what a warning to those that sit among the professing church then. There's no fruit. What a warning that they will be found out. Be sure that you're in Christ. But there's a great challenge then to the believer. Abide. Abide. We'll just look at verse 5 again in closing. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And surely we can say then that with him, we can do much. severed from me, there'll never be fruit. But joined to me and drawn from me, there will be much. And as we meditate over these words in the remainder of this day, let our focus be on this. Christ is a good vine, the true vine. And as we abide in him and draw from him, as we feed on him, may we bring forth more fruit, much fruit, and thereby may the Father be glorified. May the Lord bless his word this evening to all of our hearts. Amen.